Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of TFG Radio. As you can see if you're watching on Twitch, or you'll soon hear, I am joined by Danny.
Hey.
And Tom, who is actually on the Wheels of Steel today.
Yes.
Since that's how far we've fallen in already in 2021.
It is the year of Tom.
God damn it.
And John is not with us today. He is stuck working, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I mean, there's you know, a lot of history in January regardless, so I'm sure he's getting different costumes together, you know, his winter clothing, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, like everyone said, sewing his costume. There's a lot of sewing involved.
Yeah, you know, it's a useful skill. I mean, don't hate.
So first show of the new year. Exciting year so far. We're only not even a weekend, or just a weekend.
It's, you know, it's one of those things of 2021 was like, oh no, where you're not getting off that easy.
Yeah, because we got info today from Games Workshop. Big info dump.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Like there was I don't remember hearing any kind of like, hey guys, in January we've got a big update coming, you know, be prepared, anything like that. It's just like, oh yeah, by the way, here's like FAQs and points adjustments and adjustments to how the game actually plays, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, they mentioned FAQs earlier, I think on Sunday. That was gonna drop, but they didn't mention anything about changes to the rules or changes to point changes anyway.
Yeah, this is, I think, the only time I've been thankful that LVO 21 is not happening, because I would not want to be processing, having to have to process all of this, right, for the next 3 weeks before it went live.
Oh, yeah, we'd have, and especially the points adjustments.
Yeah, we'd have to, oh my God, it would be a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. It would, yes, that to say the least. Especially because this would have been due like in 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a week before LVO.
Yeah, it would have been good to do it by hand.
But like we just mentioned, GW gave us actually FAQs, points adjustments, and rules adjustments. For the GT missions. So,
and then, most of them pretty good, honestly, in my take. Most of them make the game better, right? Like, especially the, not a big fan. I'm actually not like a huge fan of like the, you know, for whoever wins the roll off goes first, no more choosing, because I feel like that should have been decided already. Like, I still think the attacker defender, dynamic doesn't work because there's no benefit to being an attacker. Right. Like if you win the very first roll off of like, do you, you know, be attacker or do you choose deployment zone? Right. Like I'm always going to take deployment zone. Right. Like that's just, I just feel like that role should be wrapped into like the way ITC had it at the tail end of the bait of, you know, you roll off. If you're attacker, you go first. If you're defender, you choose your deployment. Right. Like.
Yeah.
No Cs, no nothing. That's just what it is.
I think they're staying with attacker defender because it's not just match play, but also the narrative and open play where some of the scenarios require have an attacker and a defender.
Right.
And I think that they're just keeping it like that. This is just my opinion. I don't know if, but the way my head's working is I think they're keeping it like that just to stay consistent. Regardless of whether you're playing open play narrative or match play.
No, I mean, I get it. It's just, you know, it's a pretty
you get it, but you just don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, again, it makes sense to me. I'm not saying it's an illogical choice, just simply that like, I do think it creates, a power imbalance from the beginning of the game. If someone is basically just lucky to win the roll off twice to be like, great. I choose to be defender. And, oh, I win the roll off and I go first, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that depending on if your army's built to like alpha strike or to put heavy pressure in the center, like really fast horde armies that can like immediately clog the center of the board with OPSEC bodies, right? Like it's just, you know, it's a big advantage to go first. And the new scoring mechanism helps going second, right? Like because you actually get to score now. I think that helps balance it out, but I still think first turn is, is still pretty strong. And being able to have first turn and choose your deployment zone, right? Choose what you are working with and more importantly, what your opponent is working with. I think that's a really great advantage in the hands of skilled players.
Especially too, with since like, you know, I mean, from what I remember of ninth, because I forget so many things because I'm not playing. One of the big things, right, is being on the objective and durable. And so for those slower, durable armies that want to sit on the objective, going first is just that much better. It gives them a chance to roll up the field, sit on it. I mean, hell, even like Tyranids that are durable through numbers, if you will, you know, like
right.
they benefit from it even as well. I don't know. Yeah, going first is still just fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, also, I don't
it's
know.
Pretty good.
At least with having the, this is why I kind of agree with Danny. I'm not a big fan of you have to go first, only because I don't really see it right now, but you could build a list somehow, maybe if you're a Space Marine, to go second.
Custodes, maybe.
And then you can choose to go second, and that.
Definitely custodes, yeah.
And I know the Warhammer community site mentioned that, well, part of the reason was because they're saying it's to get rid of that analysis paralysis some people have when deciding whether to go first or second. But I don't know if that's that big of an issue or if it was that big. I don't think it was.
Casual players, maybe, but like, you know, I mean, at least from our focus, which is more on competitive and like, you know, judging competitive events and stuff, I don't think it was that much of an issue.
No.
Yeah, like I said, I see their reasoning. I don't fault their reasoning. I just think the contrary reasoning is better. At the end of the day. But, you know, hey, it's still an improvement. It's still, I mean, you know, to put all that aside, I think the changes that they put out today are an improvement to the game. I think it, you know, makes the game more balanced, more dynamic, more tactical. So, you know, the fifth turn isn't like, oh, I already won. There is literally no point to spend 10 minutes playing this turn.
Yeah, let's talk about a few of those. Like you mentioned before, one of the big changes is that the player going second gets to score their points at the end of turn five instead of the beginning, which, like Danny just said, is a big help if you happen to go second. And this also assumes that you still have an army on the table. So,
yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, I actually think too, there is a bit of a trade-off for that, right? Because like, you know, the incentive is, oh, so you don't get screwed at the last turn. You still have a chance to like stay in the game. But there's also this idea too of like now you're under pressure to get to where you need to be a little faster. So it's almost like it kind of subtly reverses the rules a little bit where like the player who's going first, who's going to score at the end, he's still going to get his points. So you better make sure by turn five, you're able to beat his six.
Right. I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. It changes the tempo of the game because I'm thinking like, you know, and the reality is I haven't had that many ninth edition games, especially like competitive games to really go off of.
We have one battle report on record in your garage.
Yeah. Yeah. And I played
a bunch of Crusade game.
I played Crusade doesn't count. I played Jeff a couple of times, right?
Oh, yeah.
And like it's, you know, in one game, you know, just thinking about it of like there's, you know, he did, you know, a really smart play of doing kind of like a forward rush constantly even though, you know, because he went first, even though, I was tabling him, he was constantly able to deny me scoring at the top of the turn because he would put, you know, offsec bodies. So I'm not scoring primary ever until like the very last turns. And if I was, you know, I'm thinking of one game where I was playing my, you know, we were kind of dicking around. I was playing my knights against his, my chaos knights against his Zeech. I would have won the game if I had gotten to score at the end of my turn, right? At the end of the round.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's just part of it is it makes sense because I don't think it's necessarily amazing game design to be able to get to the last turn of your game and then look at the table and be able to say it is meaningless for us to do anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like
it makes the game shorter.
Yeah, it does. I mean, but then you're essentially playing four turns because you're actually just playing four turns of dice rolling and moving. And the fifth turn is just bookkeeping. Right. It's just like, you know, it was literally just like, okay, where are you? Where am I? Tally it up. We're done.
Yeah.
It's funny. It wasn't a competitive game necessarily, but the last time I played Jeff was our Crusade game. And it was funny where he's like super like, yay, man, yeah, let's play for sure. Great. Blah, blah. And you're dead in less than a turn and a half. And I'm like, All right, that's cool. Thanks. I'm going to drink more beer.
That's crusade for you.
Totally balanced.
The viewers want to know what you're drinking, Danny.
Oh, just one of those stupid, like, not White Claw. White Claw is like a Vizzy.
Dude, Vizzies are my favorite.
You know, I feel like slightly healthy because I get antioxidant vitamin C or whatever the crap is. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
I'm getting old and I can't just drink beer the way I used to. It wrecks my stomach and I'm trying to fight off the COVID-10 that hit me once my family had to go in quarantine over the holidays. Like, at Thanksgiving. So like.
Yeah. I am going to ward off the COVID-30 starting February. For now, I'm drinking Chimay.
I'm drinking flavored water. There you go.
Also, just cheers, orphans.
So, anything else regarding the second player change for scoring?
I think it's great. I think it's a very smart move.
I think so too. I mean, you're still going to have the issue of that sometimes getting that early lead and not being able to overcome it, but it at least gives you that chance on that last turn to do something in regards to whether it's upping your score for your placing or actually winning the game with a last chance gamble.
Yeah. Which I think it's, you know, you want that drama. You always want I think games are more fun when there's a puncher's chance, yeah. Right? When it's not decided, you know, very early on. And it's like, okay, let's just go through the motions. For all of its flaws, that's the thing I really enjoyed about War Machine is that there was always the knockout option. There was always, like, no matter how bad you're getting beaten, kill this model, win the game. Yeah. Right. There was always a win condition. Yeah.
Yeah. So moving on. One of the other changes, there are a couple changes to some of the mission, the secondaries especially.
Right.
Poor the Witch was changed went down points in the reward that you get. When you kill a character, it used to be 5 points per model, so now it's just 3. And for a unit, it goes down from 3 victory points to 2 victory points.
As a Tyranid player, it's just a happy dance all day, right? Like, I don't have to be punished for taking Broodlords or Nurnthopes, right, for my HQ choices.
Woo!
I mean, because most of the Tyranid HQs are Psykers, right? There's only Prime that isn't, and the Old One-Eye. Everybody else is a Psyker, so if you do take 3 HQs, you're like, cool, I always give up a Poor the Witch at max points.
I think that's that was actually one of the things we discovered when we were playing is, like, we were trying to figure out the secondaries, and you were like, I was like, maybe about this, and you literally looked at me, you're like, dude, just take a Poor the Witch. And it's like, all my characters are Psykers, and I was like,
Yeah.
And it's literally like, we have, almost all of our characters are Psykers, and we have a ton of Psyker units, right? Whether it be monstrous creatures or Zonthropes, right? Like, so, like, we bring Psykers, and, even if you try not to, it's like, okay, I guess I'll take a Malathrope and a Prime. Okay.
Nobody knows what a Prime is.
They're dirt cheap.
I remember.
That's jumping ahead. I'll talk about this more when we get to the other part. I'm going to stay to the show notes, Adam, for you. Because it's our first podcast of the year. For you, Adam.
See, I said in honor of John.
It also helps out, you know, like if you're a Chaos Army that takes like the Thousand Suns, the Grey Knights.
Yeah.
If you just happen to have an army that has a lot of Psykers in it, like any Chaos Army really, because a lot of their benefits are from psychic powers. If you just play any type of psychic heavy army or any army that allows psychers, I think it helps. And also they changed Bring It Down, which has to do with vehicles, so that when you destroy vehicles with 10 wounds or less, you only get 1 victory point. 11 to 19, you get 2. More than 20 or more, you get 3 victory points. Which is funny because things like the Eldar Wave Serpent has 11 wounds, while most other transports only have 10. I know things like the Razorback, I think, has 11. Well, not the Razorback, the Predator. And Whirlwind, yeah. I think, has 11. So, and I think this change to what the previous point spread was is helpful for armies that want to bring a lot of vehicles. I know I do, and I was planning to, regardless of what they change that, whether they change that or not.
You can't stop me.
And I just assume I was going to give up the max points, you know, with my army. Someone's asking about Rhino. Rhinos only have, I think it's what, eight?
Tens? No.
I thought it was ten.
They're
well, they're only worth one victory point, so.
Yeah, I thought it was ten because the Whirlwind chassis is 11.
Oh, there, it's 11, yeah, so it's ten.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, like, Dreadnought.
Yeah, Dreadnoughts, which is funny that, you know, but it actually makes sense, but I don't know why I always pictured Dreadnoughts to be far more robust than that, but maybe I'm just too used to seeing fucking Leviathans everywhere.
Well, that, and it's every time a Dreadnought shows up in the story, it's a holy shit, what the fuck moment. Like, it's like, and then this Dreadnought. Like,
yeah, you know? I mean, that's one of the things of, it's actually one of my, when I really became hooked on Tyranids, it's a very vivid memory. I was, you know, I think, 11 or 12, living in Arizona. And,
you lived in Arizona? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I lived in Tempe, Arizona for like 3 years. It was just, yeah, I think it was the very first Tyranid Codex. Actually it was the Dark Angels. It was the Dark Angels Codex, like the really super slim one.
The third edition one, yeah.
Yeah. There is a little short, like, you know, microfiction in it of a Hive Tyrant just fucking up a Dreadnought, right? Like cutting off its leg, sweeping it down, and then, you know, ripping it apart, and then Azrael has to come in and finish and take on the Hive Tyrant, right? And I remember like reading and being like, damn, Azrael's a badass, but fuck, Hive Tyrants are awesome.
Yeah. I like the good guy, but the bad guy is dope.
Exactly. Like way better. And yeah, I remember that really, you know, solidified in my mind of like, I love Tyranids. These guys are awesome. And I just wish Hive Tyrants were better.
Oh, sad, sad face.
I was just going to say, I mean, it's funny how the more I hear about people's stories of like how they got into the hobby and what some of their favorite first factions were, a surprising number of people have said Dark Angels were among their favorite when they started. Cause John, that was one of John's favorites. That was one of your favorites. There's like at least three or four people who we know who have been diehard Dark Angels since day one.
And
for me, stupid as it was, I got introduced to Warhammer because of Dawn of War, the computer game. And sure. I played the fuck out of it. And for me, it was funny. Like that was when I was learning about everything. I love the Blood Ravens. I still do. But then when I was like looking at the different schemes, like my favorite color is green. Yeah, green hoodie. And I was like, oh, these guys look awesome. They're called Dark Angels and they have this cool emblem and they look sick. And then so they were the faction that I always played in custom games. I would always model and stuff like that. Like, oh yeah. And Dark Angels was the first Space Marine army I bought. You know, I still have them. It just happens that Danny Kwan has sequestered all of them at the moment for his dark secretive plans.
You're not giving those back.
Okay. Either that or I get money. I'm not sure.
Of course.
Cuddle Bunny wants to know what we think of the Primaris Gladiator tanks.
The new
the hover predators.
The hover predators, yes.
If you give me a data sheet, I can tell you in about 2 minutes. I remember when they were first announced, and
it was a lot of guns.
It was a lot of guns. Like, Jesus Christ. It was like, but the one thing I remember thinking was this model is only going to be good based on its points. So quite honestly, like I really don't know. It could be based on any of the variants. Cause I know there's three different kinds, right?
There's a Lancer, Reaper, and Valiant.
Yeah. So depending upon which of those you talk about, it really just, for me, it depends on points. And that's actually a legitimate question for me to ask right now, considering we just had a complete points rehaul. So even my not knowing what they were before is fine.
I gotta go look shit up.
Currently they're 200, the Gladiator's 200, the Lancer, the 230, the Lancer's 200, the Valiant is 250. And I don't know if that includes, it does include the weapons, so. So the Valiant has the Laz Talon, the twin Laz Talon, which is basically a short range Laz Cannon.
I hate Laz Talons normally, but yeah.
Really?
Well, because I used the Space Marine Flyers, and the points on the Laz Talon and the return was just awful.
Well, it's only 24-inch range, plus whatever the Gladiator moves. The Gladiator moves 10 inches.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought they all moved 10 at least.
Yeah, the Reaper has the Tempest, no, the Twin Heavy Onslaught Gatling Cannon.
Which is actually not bad.
Heavy 24, 30 inches, strength 6, minus 1, 1 damage.
I heard 24 dice is not terrible.
That's one of those. So the Reaper is, like, really, really good in a meta-dependent, you know, sense. Mm-hmm. Because obviously if you go up against, like, any army that's trying to pull a horde, which it's just, you know, is viable in 9th edition, like, that's worth its weight in gold, right? Like, that's just kind of pick up models. But then it gets fucked if you go against Custodes, other Space Marine armies, right, where, like, you know, the strength 5, AP, whatever, you know, AP nil, right, damage 1 is just, like, meaningless, right? They can shrug off that fire pretty easily.
Right.
So that one I think can be workable if you're building a list where you're trying to really do a take all comers list where you're like, okay, I have, you know, I'm really focusing on big punches, like my characters, my units have really big heavy punches, and then I have two Reapers that are basically like, if I play against a Horde army, these guys are going to win me the game, and if I'm not, then I can use them to, like, you know, get in the way, move block, right? Maybe put on cheap wounds.
I was literally thinking the exact same thing. Like, and that's one of the great things about vehicles too, is that, like, even if he's not earning his points back in kills, you can throw him on an objective and be like, I'm sitting here, asshole. Like, I'm a vehicle. I'm a little tougher to take down than your average squad of chumps, even space marine chumps. So come at me. Like, I mean, and that in and of itself. That's what I did with my Scorpius Whirlwinds before, Cronus got nerfed. Like, I used to do that all the time.
The Gladiator Lancer has the Lancer Laser Destroyer. With strength 10, minus 3, D3, plus 3 damage.
How many shots?
2.
Nah.
It's a heavy 2, but that's basically its only gun.
Is it
250? Yeah, that's not enough.
So you would take the Heavy Onslaught one?
I would take the Reaper or the, what is
Gladiator.
It? Is it a Valiant?
I think it's a Gladiator. Or no,
The Reaper is the one with the Heavy Onslaught.
Yeah, that would be my first choice. And it's the Valiant, the one with the, like, numerous different guns, but with the last talons.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably take that. Although it's expensive because it's a little more multi-purpose, so you're paying the premium. I'd honestly probably if it was me building a Space Marine list, I'd probably only take Reapers as, like, my, oh, I'm playing Horde, here's my answer, and then focus on, like, Eradicators or other things for big threats, right? Like, when I'm like, oh, that I have to kill a giant thing immediately. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of it too is to Tom's point of, like, the advantage of, like, oh, this is my volume of fire portion of my army with the Reapers is they're still relatively durable. And so if you're playing a bad matchup where they're not super effective because the other army is very elite or stacking high armor or whatever, because they have armor, any shots they put into them are not going into your Space Marines. So. Yeah. Profit, right? Like, if they soak fire, awesome, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I remember that was one of the first lessons when I was learning how to play in 7th. That was, like, I remember playing with Danny Kwan, and I remember targeting a unit, and he's like, Tom, I'm gonna stop you because I want you to shoot them. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, and God bless his soul, Danny Kwan kicked my ass so much, but made it so gentle each time. The real core lesson was, I feel like I'd die against you, like, in a straight up fight. But, like, the lesson really was just, like, if you could bait, it's like chess. Like, if you can bait your opponent into taking the right pieces, then that's just money for you. Like, I've actually, hilariously enough, gotten super back into chess in the last couple months. So, yeah, like, I know, right? Cause there's no fucking else to do, and I need a competitive outlet, and sometimes Apex is not going to cut it for me. But, like, yeah, and that's exactly, and it's funny the number of parallels, like, as I'm playing chess, cause I learned that first, and I'm like, oh wait, this is something I did in 40K. Like, I'm going to do a feint with this piece, have you take it, and then 3 moves later, I've got your queen, and that's exactly what I want to do.
Right, no, I mean, it's just, thinking ahead, right? Like, it's being able to anticipate movements, right? And then capitalize on the movements. But, you know, a similar idea is just in general is the idea of having a unit or two in your army that even if it's not, it has bad matchups, if it still absorbs fire that you don't want to take, for your main, like, units that are actually going to do work, that's great. Sacrifice them, throw them forward, make them deal with it, right? Because, you know, this game is still inherently based on movement and resource allocation. Your opponent only has so many powerful shots that are going to do meaningful damage in a turn. You know, you can only move so far and cover the board in a given amount of time. So, right. You know, being able to play with that. I mean, that's why I love, like, Scythe Hieroduel or the Demacaran for Tyranids, is that you can just take one of those things and they have bad matchups, but they can, you know, but they have great matchups too. But the thing is, your opponent has to dedicate real firepower to them to take them down. And if they're doing that, they're not hunting maybe any other monstrous creatures you have, right? Like, especially if you stack, you know, the one problem with Tyranids is people are like, I want to take a mixed force. I want to have like 100 gaunts, but then like a bunch of big monsters. It's like, no, because all the last cannons go into the big monsters. All the bolters go into your little guys and you're dead, right? You always want it to be where, you know, oh, I've got just, it's like, oh, I have last cannons. Great. I have nothing over tough, you know, I have nothing you can target over toughness 3. Have fun, right? Like, right. Well, good job.
And that was
reverse, right?
And that was like what, right? Like that was part of the problem at the end of 7th that everyone hated Death Stars, because Death Stars were both of those things. They were the unkillable whirlwind of death that could move decently enough around the table that also were killing the rest of your army. So right. It didn't even matter how clever you were. It was just like, I can't deal with this. Like, I remember there was one game I played with Travis where we actually set up the money shot when Tau had the Hunter Cadre and that whole rule where everybody gets +1/+1 and all those bonuses on bonuses on bonuses. And it was against the Necron Death Star. And I had, like, we literally forced the scenario. I had everything going for me. I just had to roll the hit and roll the wound. And I think I killed a third, maybe half of the Death Star. And then he charges me, I fail all my Overwatch, and I die. And that was before the drone rule was really good, which, right. You know, as we'll learn later, rip.
Yeah.
So moving on in terms of rules, the other change is the change to, where is it mentioned? Where, hold on, let me find it real quick. What's it called? Where we stand, we fight?
Yes. Yeah, having it be units is a big deal.
They changed it from individual models, which usually meant your characters, to now units, which could basically be anything.
Yeah.
Depending on how your army is built.
Which is...
Go ahead, Danny.
I was going to say, it's less gameable now, because like when I would be building tiered lists, I'd be like, oh man, I'm definitely taking a Malathrope and 2 Broodlords, because I can take why we stand, we fight in a horde, you know, in a horde army. Yeah. And like, you're never going to kill those models unless I let you, or you table me, so I lost anyway, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know, but now with units, it's like, oh, okay. Cause that's the thing is some armies just don't have units that are exceptionally durable that you can just spend 300 points hiding for most of the game.
Yeah. If you hide those units, then why do you have them?
You're sacrificing 15% of your army's resources to do nothing.
Yeah.
And maybe in some games, that's enough to win because you're like that 15% getting me, you know, 15 points at the end of the game in my secondaries is enough to win. Great. But a lot of armies can't necessarily do that. I mean, I've been trying to go through my list of like, you know, Tyranids can kind of do it with like Hive Guard. Hive Guard become a great choice because if they die, you probably already lost because they just hide, you know, and rain down death. Yeah. I'm thinking of other armies of like, if I was playing like my, you know, obviously knights are like, well, that doesn't really work because, you know, unless I'm taking big shooty knights that hide in the back and a bunch of little, you know, little war dogs to go for and actually get objectives. But like my, you know, just generally in chaos, I'm like, what do you take? That would be the most one of the three most expensive units in your army that you're just hiding all game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause everything that you would hide, like cultists or even chaos space marines are usually not that expensive.
Right. Like a Scorpius, but again, it's not.
Yeah. It's yeah. Not but I mean, I don't even know if you're going to take it now because of the new rules.
Right. So it's like if you have a really expensive indirect fire, you know, unit
right.
or model, right? Sure. Go for it. But
yeah.
Especially consider it's three right? It's three units.
Yeah, it's three units, not just one.
So,
well,
yeah.
In that case, then wouldn't Hive Guard still work for you? Because you can Hive Guard, depending upon how many models you throw in there, are still pretty beefy.
That's what it says.
That's what Danny said.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Try listening, Tom.
No, I was too busy engaging the community. Okay. I was engaging the community right now. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. I think Why We Fight, We Stand is still, it's not as like gameable, but now it becomes of like, okay, who's actually good at this?
Yeah.
Right. And it becomes very niche. I think that only specific armies and specific builds can really make the most of it.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see people picking that one a lot.
I mean, Custodes could still do it because, like, you know, Custodes units are fucking expensive and they're still hard to kill. So, you know, you can reasonably move them forward. I think it's good on really defensive shooting units, like units that shoot well. That's how they do their damage, but they're more defensive in nature. They just have, like, you know, their T8, 2 plus save, some kind of strong and vulnerable save, feel no pain, whatever.
Right.
Because they can hang in the backfield, do some damage, but don't really need to commit.
So Obliterators, Death Guard, Aggressors, if you're bringing them.
Aggressors are too short range. Or, you know, what is it?
What are they called? The Inner Circle Knights.
Oh, Deathwing.
Deathwing with their transhuman.
Jesus Christ. And not to mention, I think they still have the shield wall strat from 8th. Where it's -1 to hit them in close combat.
Oh, jeez.
I think that's still there. I might be wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's not that an army can't do it. It just becomes that question of how much are you skewing the design of your army to maximize the secondary, and is that really worth it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that was it for the missions and the rules in terms of that stuff. One of the other rules actually has more to do with the army, but so we'll switch to that. We're only going to talk armies that we really care about. We're not going to go through all of them. Danny, is there anything? And we'll include points also.
Yeah.
Points and rules. Danny, is there anything in, well, obviously Tyranids?
Yeah. Tyranids, it's all about, so Tyranifexes are, especially acid, Tyranifexes got a 20-point drop. So they're actually much more usable because, you know, for 175 points, you get T8, you get 13 or 14 wounds. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's just a big beefy beast that can, you know, doesn't care if it's degraded because it shoots, right? Shoots into combat with no penalty because it auto hits, right? Like, it just becomes a really great forward beast to throw into the middle and be like, charge me. If I get to stand still, I get to shoot twice, do decent damage no matter how hurt I am. I'm pretty tough to kill.
Right.
You know, so Tyranifexes win, Devil Gaunts, right? Devour Armed Termagaunts win because they dropped like 60 points for a full unit. And they're like the highest volume of shooting Tyranids have, right? A max unit of 30 shoots 180 times if you spend 2 CP to do it, right? Like that's just, you know, they're strength 4 AP 0, but if you're going against another horde, which Tyranids actually struggle with because unless you have Gene Stealers, we don't kill a lot of models very quickly. But Devil Gaunts become that answer, which I think is fun. And really for me, it's back to what I harp on. I don't know how many people believe me. And I get it. It's just because it's mechanically hard to get that many models. Is Warriors drop to 17 points a model.
Okay.
And that for me, that's huge because they were already the most point efficient kind of wounds you could buy in Tyranids, right? Because they're T4. Each one has 3 wounds. Right, with a 4+ armor save. And then, you know, the next closest is like, oh, you know, a Gene Stealer, which is T4 with a 5++, but it's like twice that points per wound wise, right? So having them down to 17, especially giving them just double scything talents where they have 4 attacks, rerolling ones on the 3+ weapon skill, like they just become super cheap troop fillers for like monster mash lists where they're obsec, they're synapse. They fight against weaker units pretty well. And they're not as afraid of bolters, so when people just put chip shots into them, it actually takes a little bit more than chip shots to meaningfully hurt them. And if they're sending any kind of decent firepower into warriors, they're not doing that against your main threats, right? They're not doing that against your monsters. Right. I think warriors, I can see warriors really working in an MSU, as the MSU component of a mostly monster army, right, where you have like 4 or 5 units of them because they're really cheap and they're obsec and they just run around throwing out synapse, you know, sitting on objectives, but they're pretty resilient for their points. And then you have your big monsters go forward to smash, you know.
Isante says Nid warriors are trash. Buttle.
I mean, they're not going to kill a lot. I mean, that's the thing. In that setup, unless you're going against another horde army, they're not going to kill a lot because they're only strength 4. You can build them to be AP negative 2, which starts working pretty well. And you can even do some shooting, you know, shenanigans and Chronos with them by putting a prime next to them, giving them Symbio Storm. And now, you know, and with Despiters, they put out enough volume of fire to actually threaten things because they explode on 5s and 6s, right? So you're just getting a shit ton of hits, which is cheaper to do now. Especially because you can put them in, they can ride with a Trigon, they can ride with a Tyrannocyte. So you can save that hit and just drop it down where you need it. And again, you know, you're putting out, what is that, 9 times 3 is 27 times 2 is 54. You're putting out 54 shots that can hit on 3+. If you're a Chronos and you did stand still, rerolling 1s, exploding on 5s and 6s, right? Getting an additional hit on every 5 and 6 you roll, is, you know, not bad. Cause that's enough. That's at strength 5 and AP negative 1, that's enough to hurt elite armies. You know, you're not necessarily going to wipe out a Custodes unit, but you're going to hurt them a hell of a lot more than they think you are.
Or like two plus Marines with a lot of cover redundancy, that'll be probably hard to do too.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's all, it's always becomes the thing of like, again, I see warriors more as, they're mathematically just more efficient than Termagants. Because the only disadvantage that they have is they just don't have bodies, right? Termagants are still 10 obstacle bodies. You can throw an objective and take that from 3 Space Marines.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But warriors, especially if you're doing like a Nidzilla list, they are so much more resilient to bolters than like 10 Termagants are, right? Or 3 squads of troopers.
That was actually something I noticed in our game too when I was playing, when I had Custodes against your, I dropped my Warden squad, one of my 2 Warden squads in the left back corner to take out some key units. Then you moved in with the Tyranid Warriors and they tied me up for a turn. They did exactly what you wanted them to do.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to do. I mean, no one has these models because they're like $20 a model, right? Like,
Jesus Christ.
No, they're expensive as shit. Woo. But if you, theoretically, build like a 60+ warrior list as like a warrior horde. And that would be difficult for a lot of armies to answer because that's just a lot of, especially if you did it as, Jormungandr. So they're always in cover, right? Mm-hmm. They always have a 3+ armor save. And you can then put them in terrain because they are infantry. So they navigate terrain really well. And -1 to hit, right? They just become really annoying. And, you know, that's not that many points of your army. You can still have Hive Guard hiding in the back, fucking murdering things, right? You can still have Broodlords or Nurenthropes running around, you know, smiting stuff, right? Like they become actually a weird horde, like, you know, horde style army, which would be fun. But, you know, I have like 20+ warriors and I still, you know, that's like a third of what I would need. And I ain't trying to do that.
Yeah.
That life.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. You're going for like a very purposeful build about including them.
Yeah. Because exactly. It's not something splash.
Oh yeah. And the thing is like you could just as easily argue probably other lists that don't even include them at all.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The Tyranid list that I'm taking would actually now, I'm like, oh, maybe they're so much cheaper now. I'm like, maybe I do find a way to slide in a Devil Gaunt bomb. I think still the most competitive Tyranid build is Horde, right? Like it's just, you know, you bring so many freaking fearless bodies that are OPSEC and Tyranids are fast as hell. You can easily get 2 squads into the middle of the table on the first turn and just clog the center of the board with offset bodies and be like, cool, you've got 5 turns to kill me off these objectives and you have tons of disposable chaff. They can be like, cool, let me deny you this objective, right? Like, yeah, they're not going to do anything. Those 10 Hormagaunts or those 30 Hormagaunts are going to sit on that objective in your deployment zone and die horribly next turn. But guess what? At the start of your turn, you don't score it, right? You don't score that objective. So yay, I'm winning the primary.
Yeah.
You know, and although I can't wait to play again because I have 3 Dimmicarons and I'm like, I want to fucking play with my Dimmicarons, right? I want to play with my fucking Herio Fant once I fix it.
Oh, I know the feeling.
You know?
Yeah.
Any other armies that you're looking at, Danny? Or was it just Tyranids? Because I know Tyranids is your thing, but I don't think you had anything else, huh? Tom?
Well, so I'm happy and I'm not happy, but I'm also whatever. So Grey Knight.
Well, you have what? Well, we're gonna look at Tau and Custodes because those are your two main.
Yeah, two main. Although, again, may I remind everyone that I have a beautifully painted, hard worked. I spent so many goddamn hours into it. Grey Knight's army, played two games and then COVID, and it is sitting there and it is now outdated, and I can't. I look at that army and I'm like, maybe one day I'll get to actually really give you a shot, and maybe I won't. I won't. But you know what? They're pretty and they're there, and I'm proud of them. So that, from what I understand, they were kind of a wash. Custodes, and I still, to be quite honest, I'm not sure I understand this. But so Custodes did go down in points some ways. Like Virtus Praetors went down another 10 points, which is like my heart.
What do they do again?
They move 14 inches. They can advance to 20, depending upon which shield watch you bring. They can still fire after advancing at Solar Watch.
Okay.
Their interceptor lances murder hell if you charge, and they're also T6 with a 2-up armor, 4+ invul, and 4 wounds a pop. And now they're 80 points a model, if I'm remembering correctly. So, hot fucking damn. Oh, and they've got 12 at rapid fire range of 12 inches, max range of 24, they've got 12 shots of bolters per bike. So you're looking at 36 shots for a squad of 3 at 24 inches or 12 inches.
At 12 inches.
And okay. Yeah, and which is very easy to get to when you can move 40, potentially 20, and then hit at -1. Oh, they hit at 2s, no big deal. You're still rapid firing bolters at 3, you know, at 3 to hit. It's pretty goddamn good.
Are those the bikes?
The Virtus Praetors, yeah. Caraquin, the place I looked, it said they dropped by 10 points. And I think that's partially due to the rule I said I don't understand, which is that according to the Munitorum Field Manual, items not listed like with points in a unit's entry or something, like I forget how it's worded. But it's something about like war gear that they have access to that's not directly pointed is considered free.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember exactly how it's worded. I'm going to look it up because I realize I have the internet in front of me. let's see.
Wait, we're on the internet now?
I guess.
Oh, the internet, they put computer, so that's on computers now, huh?
Oh yeah. Weapons and war gear not listed in a unit's entry cost. Oh, in a unit's entry cost no additional points to include in that unit.
Okay.
So, the example for, what is it? For Custodes is that the Guardian Spear is not mentioned in the entry cost. For most of the units. So, like, it's like they have access to it, but it's not like essentially. And which is a huge deal considering originally, I might be screwing this up because it's been so long since I've like really memorized all the details of this. But the Guardian Spear, like, was, you know, you paid for it. You know, it was part of what you considered the base cost of the unit, but now you're dropping that completely out. So now you're only paying extra points if you take Sword and Ward for, like, say, a Guardian Spear. That's insane. And, like, and it's funny, actually, Caraquin's saying the Vexillus is free now. I don't think that's a typo. I think that that's actually on purpose because the different Vex, it says it takes a Vexilla, but it doesn't list the Vexilla in, like, the points of, like, the different things that it has on its entry. So it's, you know, it's not saying like take a, you know, if you want to take a this, it costs an additional 5 or something. That's a huge deal considering the Vexillas range from 20 to 40 points or 20 to 50. I think the crappy leadership one is 30 or 20, the Magnifica is 30, and then the super aggressive one is 50. So having them all be 0 is like, oh, now I have an amazing character for Custodes who is even cheaper now. Yeah, it was like 20 or 30 or something like that. So it's like they just get more points changes and they get it better for themselves. It's just really good. But then we get to Tau.
Yeah, you're not going to play Custodes because they suck. Instead, you're going to play Tau now, right?
Oh, yeah, Tau. Yeah, it was like Mr. Needlessly was saying earlier in the chat, Tau are OP with their tactical drones. And by tactical drones, I mean shield, gun, and fuck, what was even the third?
Marker?
No, marker. Oh, marker. Drones. Yeah, okay. Nobody took those, or at least I never did. Yeah, they're 20 points a drone now.
What were they before?
10. If I remember back when I was playing, you know, before Corona times, they were 10. So that's fucking huge. Like, they just got massive expensive. The commanders, the ones you care about, they all jumped a little bit in points, like 5 or 10. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like more point sink. And the problem, and this is the same problem that's happening. I mean, they did give Shadow Sense Supreme Commander, so you can take a Supreme Command detachment. So, like, hooray, I guess. But also, why didn't you give that to Farsight, who was like the OG Supreme Commander, motherfuckers? Like, read the lore that you wrote. I mean, like, come the fuck on, like, you know. But
come on,
then
come
also,
on, guys.
Come on, guys. I mean, technically, no. But then also, what's happening is what I personally experienced in 8th. Which is, like in 8th, everybody was in an index, right? And then as things got their codices, slowly Tau were just like borderline impossible to play unless you were doing missile, like secret missile spam.
Right.
And finally when they got their codex, then all of a sudden it was a whole dynamic shift of like, okay, how the hell do I play this army now? And I think the same thing is going to happen. And Kara Quinn, Tau haven't crushed it since like, well, I mean, I guess Siegler did.
I was going to say, I don't know if Tau crushes Siegler and, Poland crushes.
Yeah, there's a difference between like, okay, so there's a difference between like ranting about Space Marines because like I could just be like this is what happens when you're a Space Marine player. You go to a game store and you're like, I'm going to buy a Space Marine army, and you go to the checkout list and then all of a sudden Reese from Frontline Gaming comes in and says, oh, you won this huge tournament. And you're like, but I just bought the models. And he's like, no, you just won because you bought these models. And you're like, oh my God, yay. But like with Tau, it's like very difficult to do that. And like, and that's why like Danny was saying, Richard Siegler is what won with Tau, not because Tau. Like, him and Brian Pullen, they're really, really good at this game. That's why Tau win. They're the reason. Not because the faction itself lends itself to winning, like Iron Hands did, you know, when the Space Marine Codex, you know, came out. And I mean, the Space Marine Codex.
That seems like so long ago now.
I know, really?
It's only been like a year.
I know. It's insane. So yeah, Tau suck until we get their codec. We have no idea what happens.
And that doesn't mean they'll improve.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And at the end of the day, the other thing though is that the more I see of Dark Angels, the more I'm like,
you wanna play Dark Angels?
Yeah. Like, I technically have a Dark Angels army. I just only have a third of what I need.
Okay. I'm building an Imperial Guard army. There's been a few changes, especially in the, for the tank commanders and Lieben Russ tanks. I don't know. That's really the big change because I plan on using them. I don't think it looks like the Chimera got a points reduction, which I planned on using anyway. And especially like I mentioned before, where I'm probably going to take a heavy mechanized army to begin with to go with the Krieg. But, other than the tank commander, and there was a slight increase for the infantry squad by 5 points. So we'll have to see how much that's going to affect the army. Because I was planning to do a brigade, but I may not do that now. You may just stay with the battalion. But to me, from what I'm seeing, the points change aren't too much. More or less the same. They're still cheaper than most of the other stuff. The other army is my Chaos army. I don't play Death Guard. You'll have to talk to Don about that. And I don't play Thousand Sun. So I play, I play Black Legion mainly. Terminators had a point change. There's small point cheeses across the board. I know, Danny, you have World Eaters also.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the changes are that significant.
Really only for World Eaters, at least from what I read of like the Terminators going down, mm-hmm. and then getting their power weapons for free, yeah. right? Makes them so much cheaper. So now doing things like the double lightning claw red butcher bomb is just mm-hmm. so much better because before you were really paying a premium for it. Now you're not. And it's like, that is an exceptionally hard hitting unit that you can pretty easily get charges out of reserve with. That will just absolutely murder whatever they hit, especially with the double lightning claws. Because, you know, they just pump out so many attacks, they reroll mm-hmm. the wounds, you can spend the AP to get them to -3. You can spend a CP to get them to trigger, Death of the False Emperor on any unit or a 5+ on Imperium units. So like, and they fight twice. So you're just blendering the shit out of, right. you know, whatever they hit. That's good. I don't know how much more beneficial that is. Maybe to Slaanesh Terminators who can pretty much guarantee a charge out of reserve, right?
You mean Emperor's
Children, yeah.
Emperor's Children, yeah. Because Slaanesh, yeah. you can't do that.
Yeah.
I think for myself, because it's Black Legion, I think the cheaper Terminators is probably better because of Abaddon. Everything else kind of looks more or less the same.
Chaos Knights get a boost. With the
they get it with the War Dogs, right?
Yeah, the War Dogs are so much cheaper. Like my favorite War Dogs, which is the shooty and fighty, you know, yeah. the fighty one, is like 135 points if I read correctly.
Yes.
I mean that's just so cheap for you know what is it 13 or 12 wounds at T7, and with the Engine War custom house traits mm-hmm. that really benefit War Dogs. You can reasonably take, you know, 6 to 8 War Dogs and still have a few really big heavy hitters. And, mm-hmm. you know, it becomes that problem again of like, where is your opponent sending their, you know, kind of anti-tank weaponry? Because if they're going after the big dogs and Chaos Knights can be really resilient if you go Iconoclast, and start, you know, taking all their bonuses, you know, it becomes a thing of like, cool, if you're trying to kill the big thing, you have to deal with all these little guys who can do damage yeah. and are taking the objectives and are fast as hell.
Yeah, I think the Chaos list I'll probably build is probably going to be Terminator-centric with some War Machines, because I know the Defiler, which I have 3 of them, but I probably use 2, has kind of stayed the same points, about 135, 140,
yeah.
which is what it was before. I'm still trying to work the list. It's just, I don't know. It's hard because they're still, because unfortunately they didn't update, and this is like the second time they could have done it. They didn't update the number of wounds for Chaos Space Marines.
Yeah. RIP.
Yeah. So
that would help.
I don't know. I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what. And we don't know when the new codex is going to come out, so we don't know how long these points are, if these are the official points that we're going to see when the codex comes out, or if they're going to change again once the codex comes out, because they'll have more wounds. We know, we know for Death Guard, they're going to have 3 wounds for their Terminators. We already know that. So we're assuming other Terminators are going to have 3 wounds also, so, but officially, it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, that could be why there was the point drops for the Terminators. It's just kind of factoring in that maybe they're not going to get their 3rd wound for a while. Right.
Right.
So it might as well make them distinctly cheaper than what you're going to see elsewhere.
Rabble, rabble, rabble.
No, so, I mean, and so I'm looking, once the points are updated, because I actually use the GW app. I've used it now more than I use Battlescribe. Once they get the points updated, and I haven't built any lists recently only because I think they still have the problem of when you update it, it actually deletes your list. So if you do have the list, make sure you save them. But once they make that update, I'll probably start building a Chaos and a Imperial Guard list and go from there. But I think, let me check. But we'll see. I don't know. And then one of the other big things someone mentioned was that they fixed the stratagem that lets apothecaries bring back those little ATVs.
That's a nice fix because I was so dumb.
Well, I didn't even realize that was a typo.
It wasn't a typo.
The stratagem
allows to an apothecary to bring back one infantry or bike model.
Oh, an ATV is listed as bike.
It's listed as bike, even though it looks like a vehicle.
It's a bikeable.
So there you go. So they basically made it so that the stratagem doesn't include the ATV. So I think that's one of the bigger ones. I think there's other ones, but I don't think we haven't seen that happen yet in terms of the impact. I don't think there's anything else from the FAQ, the rules, or the points cost. I think a lot of us will see, especially the points cost, whether it's Battlescribe or the GW ad, we'll see that soon. We'll see it soon. I know someone mentioned how surprised they were that this happened. I know, like I mentioned earlier, they did tell us they're going to come out with an FAQ this week, but the rules of amendments and the points adjustments was a bit of a surprise. So, and I think overall a good surprise, not
necessarily. Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, except for maybe Tao. Yeah, sure. Well, no, this is Warhammer, so. It's Warhammer, so the primary hobby is actually bitching about the hobby, so I'm sure there's plenty of people who are mad.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's why we're still in business, right? Because we can bitch about something. Hey!
You need to quit while you're ahead.
Was I ever ahead?
No.
Well, as long as you're not behind, I guess.
Now I'm confused.
Yes.
Or drunk, I'm not sure which.
Why not both?
Yeah, why not both? Hey! The Irish.
Okay,
so like if you've been following the show for a while, every year, towards the end of every year, we've had a haiku contest. If you don't know what that is, a haiku is basically Japanese poetry. It involves three lines. The first line is only five syllables. The second line is seven syllables. And the third line is again, five syllables. And it should be actually in Japanese, but, we're American, so we make it how we want it. And it's in English. And I think Danny said it's supposed to be contemplative, basically.
Yeah, it's supposed to be reflective, right? It's particularly centered around nature, primarily, right? That it's, the first line should introduce, kind of the scene, right? Like the conceit. The second line should present kind of the problem or like, you know, and this is all metaphorical, right? Of like, what is the issue? And the third line should kind of attempt to contemplate the problem, right? Is there a resolution? Should there be a resolution? Right. Things like that. Like it's meant to be in form of, you know, a meditative form, right? Where you're really digging into every word and thinking about what is the meaning being conveyed here. But obviously we don't do that.
Right.
We don't do that.
We're Americans. Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, in the immortal words of Tracy Morgan from 30 Rock, that's a metaphor. God, I love that one.
I like the one where they talk about CGI. If you know that one, because his coworker uses the Star Wars references to, and his reactions to that is actually pretty funny.
Never mind. Okay, yeah, I'll stop there. Never mind.
Yeah, please. Hold on one second. And every year we have a theme. Last year was, what was last year's?
It's about John.
Yeah, I think it was about John. It just had to be about John.
Yeah.
And, I forget what the first one was about, but this year.
I think it was a general hate coup. Like, what do you?
Oh, it was hate. Yeah, that's right. It was like, we called it the hate coup.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that was last year. I think the first year was John. Last year was the hate coup.
Last year was the hate coup.
And we tried to, and we always want to make it a 40K or GW at least centric. But this year, because of the kind of year it was, we just made it about the year and we got a number of colorful ones. We got
and these
about
certain times. TFG Radio is here for you. Your haiku could be about whatever you want this year because we're here for you.
Remember, our Patreon is built at the beginning of the month.
So
please update your credit card information regularly.
Oh, so good.
So hold on one second. So we got about almost 40 entries. For the haiku. And the prize this year was, first prize was a Lord of War of your choice that is not a Forge World. Then second place was a vehicle of your choice, not from Forge World. Then, third place was a troop box. And, fourth place is basically a character or a unit leader, clan pack or box.
Is the not Forge World also applicable to those last two?
Yes. I just didn't want to keep on saying it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a stickler, so I'm covering for other sticklers.
So, like I said, we had about 40 entries. Some of the, I don't know if you guys have it open, but some of the highlights or some of the ones that I enjoyed anyway.
There's some great ones.
There was some top quality work here.
One that didn't win, and the ones we're gonna mention now aren't the winners. We know
who
win.
Yeah, no, not to get you excited.
One of the ones that I enjoy, especially to commemorate the year of Tom, is Tom Whispers Softly, podcasting from his closet. Shut the fuck up, Tom. I think that last line exemplifies.
Which is hilarious, considering I have no noise limit tonight. Like, I'm in a scenario where I am able to be as loud as I want.
For those that don't know, Tom usually speaks very softly because he has a newborn.
More like this, and it's because, yeah, I've got two kids under two, and it's kind of a bitch to be in a small ass apartment in California. So, yeah, I normally talk to this. But today, they're staying with the mom-in-law, so it's like, or not, no, yeah. no my mother-in-law, not my, there's no way my wife is staying with my mom. Like, without me. That's just not happening.
Yeah. One that didn't win that I love was, and you know, this hurt me. This cut me deep. Whoever did it, it cut me deep. So tall and spindly, the hero fan stands proudly. 4-year-old Hulk smash.
True story.
One of my favorite ones, cause it was a really good, it was a good reference to the show. Was, coronavirus. Election 2020. Buy that fucking guy. And it was like, hey, you know, like a little show reference there. I liked it.
We'll see. Where's another one that I thought that didn't, you know, place high? Oh, and this one is, you know, to brag on Adam, since we're all picking ones that make fun of various people.
I don't know.
Is, Adam is so old. So old. That's all I've got. Old.
Amazing.
I'm hurt.
Another good one is Christopher Walken. Oh. Try not to hear his voice now. Penetralia.
That second line was true, actually.
Yeah, it really was. Because the second you read it, you're just like, Walken.
Yes. Yeah. Needs more cowbell.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to go with you.
No, all I think about is...
Oh, I don't know why this one. I forgot about this one because I should have voted for it, but I didn't. Everyone loves Zoom except for Jeffrey Toobin. You don't want to know. If you do want to know, look him up.
I didn't get that, to be quite honest. But
that's the guy that let it all hang out because he left his Zoom on by accident.
Oh, so he's like the most famous Zoom fail of the internet this year?
No, not the most famous. There's been other ones, but he's maybe the most well known. He's like a what is he? What did he
Isn't
do?
Isn't that by definition the most famous?
No, he's a writer. Yeah,
he's a writer for the New Yorker a long time.
Oh, okay.
And he was on some segment and he left his Zoom on. Yeah, yeah, freelance reporter. Thank you, Airborne.
Yeah.
For
those who don't know or care, like being a consistent contributing writer to the New Yorker is probably one of the high, you know, for those that care, is probably one of the highest like literary esteems you can get, right?
Yeah.
Like where they actually consistently want you publishing. It's a, you know,
yeah,
it's a lot of prestige, which usually means you get a, you know, $200,000-$300,000 teaching gig at an Ivy League school when you're done.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the houses I lived in growing up. Like, it was like a simple country house, like it was in Massachusetts. But the one unique thing I remember about it is there was one bathroom where the entire bathroom wallpaper were different New Yorker magazine covers, like just throughout the years. And it was actually pretty non-repetitive too. And that was my first introduction to the New Yorker. is like, I go to the bathroom, like I was a little kid, take a shit, and then I'd be like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to read the cover and like the TED lines and like, da, da, da. Okay, I'm bored. I'm going to go play Legos now. Blast in the past.
So without further ado, we'll go with the contest wizard. Just a quick reminder, the contest prizes were provided by Gameology Pasadena. Our local store is also one of our sponsors. Just go to the website, gameologygames.com. Even, no matter where you're at, even if you're not from the Southern California area, they do have a website and they will ship to you. So especially in these times, it would help out a lot if you can just get it, whether it's dice, a book, anything really. They have anything and everything, just about every, D&D, things like that.
Yeah.
Hobby supplies. So gameologygames.com. Oh, and if you want to keep up with what's going on, you can go to their Facebook page and just look up Gameology Pasadena.
Yeah.
But they're providing the prizes for the contest this year.
And I gotta say, as like somebody who actually has bought from them before using their website, it's so smooth. Like it rivals.
You are like high on their website.
because so many places get that wrong, right? Like we're in the modern digital era. Like you should have a good point of sale system online. And it was so easy to do. And I didn't have to register. It was just guest register, guest boom, done, out, bam. Like it was so easy.
As most listeners know, I play a lot of other games that are non-GW. And some of those websites are literally from the mid 90s. And they're just horrible.
Let's see if my credit card gets hacked today, guys.
It's just the format and trying to do certain things, and it's just, oh man, it's hard. There's a couple that I get like email newsletters from them, and I don't mind getting them. And when I do go to their website, it's just a wall of text. There's just so much going on that it's like the same effect, Tom, you have from Fortnite when you go to Fortnite.
My God. Okay, so Fortnite is the only thing technologically that makes me feel like I've missed the boat and I'm now old. Mm-hmm. Fortnite is the most confusing HUD system known to God and man. And I've been playing video games since like fucking 95. Like I've been there every step of the way, and Fortnite is the first time where I'm like, I'm out, boys. Like, this is too much.
Listen to you, youngin', since 95.
Well, that was because I was 5 years old, so I didn't know how to use a mouse and keyboard until then.
I wrote my own games on a Commodore 64 and a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk when I got a book from the library that told me how to program my own games.
Jesus, keep your pants on, man. God, stop masturbating over your own success.
If you want to call it that, because it was just like a dot.
I don't know if I call that success, but
yeah.
I mean, that was actually my way of backhand complimenting him, because like I know what that is. Like I think my oldest brother did something like that too. Like most people don't even know what a Commodore 64 is.
Yes, Airborne. Hours of typing, and then it's just a shitty version of Centipede.
Or like getting those TI-80 calculators.
I remember one of them was like attacking a castle. That's what the premise was, but all it was like little squares on top and then a cursor in between going around in between each square and somehow me trying to hit, you know, kill the guy on the castle wall. It was pretty bad. But I digress in my old age.
Mm-hmm.
So again, thank you, Gameology Pasadena. Yeah. Cause if you do play other GW games, you know, like Historicals or Legion or Armada, they have that stuff too.
Or Conquest.
Yeah. My son is a big fan of their, X-Wing and Armada stock.
Has he actually at any point said, and when you guys go in, he's, I'll take your entire stock.
No, but I took him in today because I had to like, you know, I knew the store wasn't going to be too crowded. So, just needed to get like glue and epoxy and stuff. And like I bring him in and he instantly just like casually strolls over. He knows exactly where X-Wing and Armada is and just casually walks up and, you know, through his mash, just looks up to me. He's like, okay, Papa, I'm going to get a small ship.
I'm gonna get this small 3-foot Superstar Destroyer.
He's like,
$200, Dad.
That's brilliant negotiating, because he goes to you and he's like, look, I know you were worried, but this is all I'm asking for. Like, that's amazing. This kid's got sales under his belt.
Well, he could also hold Danny's models for hostage.
Yeah. I was going to say, we last time we were there, not this time, but the fourth time our sidetracks, he got this.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. So,
there you go. So without further ado, we'll start from fourth place. Fourth place. I'll read the haiku, and then I'll read the first name and the initial, last initial. And then if you have that same initial, you can guess if it's you or not. And then I'll send an email out. Mainly because I can't pronounce the last names for some of them, and I don't want to embarrass myself. And there's one of them where I don't know if I can pronounce the first name. So. The fourth place, which the winner of a basically character box or character clan pack, is Fetid Pestilence through a zealous apathy. His garden grows wild. Mm. And that was from William M.
And that one, I gotta say, it's the most like shower thoughts, weed smoking, like deep shit. It's like, I'm gonna, you know what? That actually has some meaning behind it. It's not just for laughs. It's for the feels.
That's one that's actually a haiku and not a joke.
That is a joke. Right. Like, that could actually be found almost verbatim in, like, an old Japanese haiku book, if that's
assuming what it translated into the right syllable.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll say it. I'm just, if no one feel mad, but I didn't know who I obviously wrote. That was my number one, baby. So I'm sorry. Sorry, dog.
And that was William Mann, who has a very nice beard in his little picture in his email.
Congratulations.
Third place, who gets the troop box of their choice. And I think it goes, 2020, ugh. A light at the tunnel's end? Nope. That is a train. And that's from Chris N. So congratulations, Chris.
Congrats. It's got this Looney Tunes effect where it's like it feels like you got Wild E and he's just kind of looking, and then all of a sudden he's like, you see his body drop and then he's dropping, That's the impression I got from that one.
Second place, which will get the vehicle of their choice. That's not Forge World. I can't remember if all four of us voted for this one, but I think three of us did.
I know three of us did.
But it's 2 days of GTs. What could possibly go wrong? Eat shit, Iron Man. If you don't know that reference, that's okay. It's best if you don't. but we did, and that's why we thought it was funny.
Yeah. I think our episode two episodes ago covers this topic.
It's a recent episode.
Feel free to check out our entire back catalog.
Yeah.
Yes.
All 7 years now? 6 years? I think it's 6 years. We're just starting year seven, I think.
I put two and two together there. Decided you were pissing me off.
I mean, if you're stuck in quarantine for a long time, maybe, you're in where the restrictions are getting tougher, you got time, right?
I know, right?
And at the end of the day, it's not like you're listening to material that doesn't matter, because you're actually getting a historical insight into the problems of previous editions. And so it really makes you grateful for what you have. And you know what? It makes you really truly miss what you didn't ever meet,
Yeah. And that goes to Kim L.
Nice. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Kim.
Congratulations.
And then number one.
This made me laugh so hard.
I think we all voted for this one.
This made me laugh so hard when I read it.
Not in a unanimous – it got unanimous votes. It didn't get number one for everyone, but everyone voted for this one, which is more or less why it got first place. And the winner of a Lord of War of their choice – hopefully it's a Gulliman or Abaddon.
Hey, you know what?
Character clan pack, that's some bullshit.
You know what? You do you.
It's a Lord of War.
Hey, remember, Silent King is the Lord of War. Just remember, Silent King is the Lord of War. Just okay. Sorry, you do you, man.
I mean, as much as I appreciate them, Gameology Pasadena, covering the prizes, I don't want to, totally fuck them over.
You know what? Just two Silent Kings. No, just
Jesus.
I'm just kidding. That's not real. I do not represent this podcast, even though I am on it.
So the winner of this year's of the 2020 haiku for the year 2020 is goes, lost my job this year. Wife said food and rent only. Bought an army box. So.
Yep.
Which I think is something we all do.
We all did. We all bought Domino's.
We all bought, well, whether it's that, whether it's the Christmas army box, something that, you know. Oh. I didn't say now. You could have done it in the past. Don't act so innocent, Danny.
Fair. All valid points.
And I've done it multiple occasions for multiple game systems. As I mentioned off air, if you didn't catch it, I recently bought the starter box for 15, well, it's technically 12 millimeter, American Civil War, what they're calling epic battles. So, and the wife doesn't know, and hopefully she never listens to this episode of the podcast. So she'll be all right. But, the winner for that is AOS.
Ayo.
So, oh my God.
Oh God. Yeah, really?
What? You know what? If it's going to be the year of Tom, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want, okay?
No, the year of Tom is not, the year of Tom is not Tom doing whatever he wants.
No, it's the year of me getting shit piled on me, regardless of my saintly behavior, so I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
I normally would scoff at someone calling their behavior saintly, but compared to the other people on this podcast, that would be a correct assumption.
Well played.
I concede the point, right?
Knowing you, Danny, you better concede the point. Oh my God.
Yeah, you were writing some shit the other night. I was like, oh Lord in heaven. Let me always never be on his bad side, ever.
I've known for a long time not to make Danny mad. At least mad at me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Adam's just waiting for every time Adam's like, you know, well, you know, if you have a complaint, you know where to find us every year at LBO. And really, it's just like, he only says that because he's like, well, is Danny going to be there? Okay, we're good.
Yeah. I can count on Danny to be there.
See, I actually, okay, and Adam can back me up on this because I said this yesterday when we were gaming Drum Apex, but I literally said, like, if I ever got into a fight and I could teleport anybody in the world to me to back me up, including an MMA fighter, top UFC fighter, or like a current Navy SEAL, I'd still be like Danny Reese. Just like,
no, hell no. You are a fucking idiot and you want to die. Like,
yeah. My God. Like, doesn't matter. I'm ignoring your narrative. I'm throwing.
Oh my God.
It reminds me, this was a long time ago. I was with friends and one of my associates was like getting way too rowdy in a bar, and he was the kind of, you know, the chihuahua of the group who was just little scrappy and like loved to pick fights with bigger dogs. And so he got into an altercation with just this big biker. And you know, there he's like, oh yeah, I was like, don't worry, I'll fuck you up. And he, you know, the biker's friends all come up. He's like, oh, you think you got a crew? And he's like, hey man, like come on, back me up. And I was like, bitch, this is your problem. Like, he's like, this guy did nothing to me.
To clarify, I'd never pick a fight and then ask you to come. I would just be like, okay, I'm forced into a fight. Okay, please, can you? Because I know you got that sense of justice defender. No, you gotta fucking fit this narrative. Goddamn.
No, I was gonna say that's like one of the dumbest things you can do. You had your pick of all of the people in the world, I couldn't even come up with a list under 1,000 that would be in any way, like, not in any way self-aggrandizing. Like,
see, you're so humble. It's gotta be you. It's gotta be you. You're so humble.
No, look, so I could laugh and be like, yeah, fuck him up, man.
In your dream scenario, you don't really have a choice. So,
you're just willing to subvert my free will. It's kind of like a D&D
will thing, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah, Airborne is saying that sounds like a summon mishap.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh man, okay, come on, Demon of Balthazar, I need you. Like, oh, hey man.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me. Like, I saw that
comic. I'm really embarrassed for you right now. That's all I can say.
That tangentially reminds me of this comic where it was this barbarian goes to this necromancer and he's like, Dark Wizard Necromancer, we need your assistance. Why? we're losing. We've lost all hope. We need you to raise the spirits and souls of the dead to combat alongside us. And the necromancer hugs him, and the barbarian is like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm raising your spirits, bro. And the barbarian is like, kind of like beard man smiles. He's like, oh, okay.
God.
Wow. I thought you were doing the classic joke of like, oh no, we must, we must avenge my brother. It's like, you have my sword, you have my axe, necromancer, and you have your brother.
Or like the necromancer meme where it's like, they killed them all, they murdered them all, and now they're just rampaging around the countryside. And it's like Mac from Always Sunny. He's like, oh my God, where? Yeah. Like,
so congrats to everybody. We look forward to how everything hopefully works out this year for the show. And we have a few questions from our listeners. Our weekly, our every show, he has questions. John from Laverne is saying, normally right now we would all be watching John, our John, Salty John, his YouTube video that he normally puts out in regards to LVO and the rulings. Even with not that many games being played this edition, is there anything that we have noticed that that would have been addressed in the video?
It's actually a really good question. I did not invest.
Probably how the free war gear thing works, and also probably how the new turn order works.
Yeah. I think how the army building works regards to free war gear.
Yeah, because people are not going to use the app, and they can't use it. They can't force them to use it yet.
Before the clarification problem, although I haven't seen them, I think we would still have the issue with third party and proxies. I think we're always going to have that. This year we would probably be talking about 3D printed models more, because that's become a big thing now, bigger than last year. And I don't know what Frontline's policy is going to be on that. And I'm in a couple groups, to be honest. I mean, full disclosure, I'm in a couple groups that where they show, I see them printing their stuff out. Normally most people just print it just for their personal use and not planning on going to like playing a major tournament. But some of them are really good, and you can't tell the difference between them and the GW model. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Recreational contraband.
I mean, I don't know how that would be. Because last year we banned 3D printed models. But that wasn't mean we were going to go out of our way to look for them. And that goes the same for proxies and count as.
What about what Airborne is saying, where you have your 3D printed model, but you have the actual model with you, just in case. So you want to play with your cool model that you did, but then
I always found that kind of weird. I mean, that's fine because you just switch it out, and especially if you're going to be on the stream. Because I'm assuming GW would probably have a policy of no 3D printed models. But like I said, if the models are good enough, the way you can tell is by the posing.
Yeah.
If it's a pose that you know is not a GW pose, then you know it's either, and you can tell it's not kit bashed, then you can easily tell it's probably 3D printed. But if they 3D print models that look like GW models, especially the poses,
almost impossible.
Yeah, and some of the vehicles, the way some of them are now, it puts it on the same level as K.R. Quinn is mentioning, is the recast. And really, depending what the model is, the only way you could tell is probably by lifting it and kind of weighing it in your hands. So I don't know what...
Why does this Gladiator Reaper weigh a pound?
Yeah.
So to be honest, right now, I don't know what the policy is for Frontline in regards to those types of models, and we won't know until they actually run an event. Other events are free to, do however they want. What we do for LVO, Bay Area Open, for the FLG events is just technically for FLG events, but it usually sets the bar for a lot of smaller events that just take whatever we do. And go with that, because it's just easier. So I think that would be something we'd probably have to talk about. Before they clarify, we probably would have had to talk about the ATV thing.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing a lot of issues coming up, because we're not seeing a lot of events. So other than those, and what GW has addressed is not really too much I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. I mean, seeing as we would have made the video probably by the time this dropped, right? Like we'd have already had it. John would have already recorded it and posted it. The things like deploying large models.
Right. Which we didn't even mention.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they have the rules. And then I've heard it referred to as the trigonometry homework about bringing in reserves on multi-levels, how tall it is and all that. We would have had to clarify that anyway, although just to avoid the freaking, reaver problem in general, which is just funny as hell. I think part of it too is because there's not been a lot of tournaments, there's not been a lot of games. We've known for a bit that LVO wasn't likely to happen, and then we got confirmation not that long ago. I'll speak for myself. I haven't been studying like those kind of issues very closely, right? Because it's just I don't need to.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm probably not going to be judging an event for, if I'm lucky, 6 months. Right. And that's assuming some of the things we want to do or, people in the local area want to do actually happen, so.
Yeah. Look, for me, it's usually the RTTs is what helps me keep in touch with what's happening. I mean, there's various discords and Facebook groups that talk about rules, interactions, things like that. But it's hard if you're not actually playing. And for what it's worth, I personally don't count TTS. It just doesn't appeal to me.
I can't. It's just no. Not to mention, it's like that it requires
just takes so much longer.
That's the thing. Yeah. It takes more time to block off than if I were actually playing a game.
And that includes travel time.
You could drive to Van Nuys, and we could play a game, and you'd be home by the time you finish a TTS match.
Yeah, because the first 2 hours would be like, how do I click this again? How does this dice work? And even if but you'd have to get good with it. It's it's still going to take a long ass time. It's called internet connections, delay of game, and it's not like a VR. It's not like Minority Report where you're woo, move, yeah, wah, yeah, wah, wah. It's everything's taking forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not, it just doesn't appeal to me.
I think for most games, 40K is, not always the most exciting game to watch. Watching a poorly computerized version of it, not any better, right? I get people are hard up for games. I totally get that, but there's plenty of people streaming, whether they stream from their house or they're in an area that's not affected by COVID where you can see some real games being played, right?
Yeah, Best in Faction podcast is doing, they're not doing Charity Hammer because because of the current situation, but they are doing, Hammer Out Cancer because one of their players, Vincent Price, is diagnosed with, I believe it is stage 4 cancer.
Oh my God.
So they're doing and if you've ever met Vincent, I met him at LVO and I believe BAO, he's a really nice guy. So they're doing a charity event for him and his family. If you haven't checked it out, check out, Best in Faction and they'll give you more details. Second question from John from Laverne is for Danny, and he's asking, since we got fucked out of a steak dinner 2 years in a row now, including this year, he's hoping that Danny has something amazing for 2022 LVO.
I'm planning already. I'll tell you that. Researching, looking at what can reasonably be done, right? Reasonably be done. And it's not like we all saved that 2 years worth of no steak dinner, right? So I can't expect okay, well, we've all got plenty of liquid here to throw around, but, I'm definitely planning, definitely researching. And, if anything tries to take that away from me in LVO 2022,
I don't want to be near you when that happens.
Yeah. I'm just saying it right now that, I regret nothing.
I will attend that, even if it means I fly in, I go straight to the restaurant, I'm there for 2 hours, and then I go right back to the airport.
Yeah, people do turnarounds all the time.
I'm fucking in if that happens, but.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I actually have a question, a fun question for both of you, if that was the last question.
Yeah, well, that's the last question for that. You can ask right now.
Yeah, no, so I actually have a fun question for both of you, because it's beginning of the year, we're all, every new year brings anticipation or dread. If you could name shortly or longly, I don't care, two things that you hope from the hobby from GW for 40K, one that you predict probably will happen, oof, and the other that you wish would happen.
Probably.
So like what's your actual prediction? Like you were going to put money on the line, and then what's the second one where you were like, you wish it would happen?
But okay, let's answer other questions first.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I don't gamble by nature.
Well, no, it's just, it's like.
Life
it's
is
like
a gamble, Danny.
It's one of those like fun wish listing questions. I don't know.
Okay, we'll answer we'll that at the end.
Yeah, right.
KR Quinn is asking, living in Colorado, it's easy to get to California. Is there any plans for tournaments this summer for planning post-vaccine? I don't know if you mean for us going or just if there's any plans in general for tournaments. You know, as far as I know, there isn't. Wasn't Feast of Blades in Colorado? Didn't Feast of Blades used to be in Colorado? Before it was ruined by Josh and what's
before it the issues?
before Josh and Boucher ruined it. Well, they didn't ruin it. They put the nail in the coffin. But as far as I know, there's none. If you're looking for to do an event in Colorado, there's usually a regional rep for ITC. You may want to find out who's yours. And you can actually and if there's not one for Colorado, there might be one for a state nearby. You contact them and they'll talk to you on how to get started with that. And then someone else was asking us for what they think the top three armies are right now. I'm just going to say Space Marine.
Yeah. Dylon, and Dylon.
Well, I guess Harlequins also right now.
I'm going to say Death Guard, Custodes, Space Marines in no particular order.
Yeah.
I just want to be different. Screw you guys.
Really? I'm just going to go with, although it doesn't, it's not really the, it's hard to have any metric here, so.
Well, yeah, for those of us that don't know, if you're just listening to this, so all three of us are based in Southern California, relatively close to each other, although that depends. You know, we're going by Los Angeles time. Danny's probably the farthest. But we're more or less, we have nothing going on unless you're doing like a small, like,
invitational.
Like a very, very small tournament. And even then, that's kind of risky. You could do like one-on-one games, but even then that, depends on how comfortable you are
everything's going on.
Yeah. Especially I would say, right now, LA County, San Bernardino County are not places you necessarily want to just be like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. Like, we're not giving people oxygen if we're pretty sure they don't need it or if we're pretty sure they're going to die anyway. Right, yeah.
it's gone to that point down here.
Let's put it this way. I have like a friend who works as a respiratory therapist. He's a rather conservative fellow, and he's like, yeah, COVID is slamming us hard, and we're not even a public hospital. And then I live in Pasadena, and the Huntington Hospital, which is pretty large and like pretty able to handle their shit, issued a triage of like, by the way, depending upon when you come in and how bad you are, we may turn you out. And we're sorry, but we're publicly posting this in advance. Like, we're not going to be able to help you at all. Like, that's pretty bad if they're publicly announcing a triage system.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't want to end on a lighthearted note.
Yeah, like I said, you got to quit while you're ahead. K.R. Quinn is clarifying where it's like he's looking for upcoming events in California. I haven't heard anything official in regards to events for us. Battle for LA. For LA is what's originally going to be scheduled for the second weekend of May. But I think we might push it. We're going to wait and see what happens in LA or LA County and Pasadena towards the end of this month. And then we may push it back to maybe another month. We should be okay by June. I know for me personally, if those are listening, my wife is getting the vaccine tomorrow. And we're recording this on Thursday. I'm part of phase, I think 1C, I think they're projecting that one for like April, May.
Yeah, it's the same time I am. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're shooting for May, mid-May, maybe end of May, but probably June at the latest. So probably June, July is when you'll see stuff, at least in California.
Yeah. And really it's just going to depend. I mean, because of my job, I get some access to, government, at least state information. And, we had timetables, but with the new variant, right, with the UK variant, running around that we're, relatively sure is here in Southern California, which has a much higher infection quotient, right? Like a lot of the timetables are being reset because they were built on a certain math of, well, one infected person is likely only to infect so many other people. So we'll have this under control. I know, my school and, my district is looking at basically how bad the surge is. And if it's flat or going down in January, that's a good sign. If it's still spiking in January, then, like good luck, right? Like maybe summer.
So hopefully by next episode or the first episode in February, we'll have a better idea. But, in terms of just events in general, larger events, but I think by June, July at the very latest. We'll probably be back once everyone's vaccinated most of the population's vaccinated.
Right. A lot of people are vaccinated at least.
The other question, someone was asking about Reaver jet bikes, which is a Dark Eldar unit, being basically 10 points a model. And they're wondering if that's a misprint. Probably not, since nobody takes those models.
I think I responded to that in chat saying like, it could be one of those, like, they look expensive, but they're actually not because of the whole war gear thing and like how that works. So maybe I have to look at the entry.
They've always been like kind of like glass hammer units.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah.
So, and by fluff, they've always been like, very glass hammer units. So we'll have to see. And I'm wondering for a lot of things, especially for Dark Elder and Death Guard, those point units are, I think those point values are probably the what's in the codex.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think, 10 points per model is like, that's cool. They can hit pretty hard, but they're like what, T4 with a, is they have a 3+ or a 4+?
Yeah. I think they have a 3+. I think jet bikes have 3+ save.
Dark Elder had weaker saves, but I don't know. Maybe. Either way,
I thought they had an invul save?
It's like a 5 or 6+.
It was like a shadow field or something?
It's something that bolters kill pretty easily. So, oh, there like, is. For the idea,
Anthony knows, yeah.
Anthony's spamming that I'm wrong, which would happen regardless of what I said, so that's fine.
So, I mean, I don't know. If they're 10 points a model, maybe they're worth spamming, and you can just do enough damage before you take damage. But again, they're not super resilient, so they're still going to die pretty.
4+ save, no invul, 6+
fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the most basic fire, they're going to die.
KR Quinn, check, you may want to check with your local county, to see, because LA County is where I saw the chart and how I know when I'm approximately supposed to get it.
I need to look at that actually.
Yeah, Don is saying feel no pain, mortal wounds hits 2+ for the Yeah, Kara Quinn is saying Sean Nathan thinks that 10 points is a misprint, but who knows?
That just sounds like you're name dropping, so I'm not gonna listen to you.
I think that's it for questions. I don't think we had any from anybody else, and it's much later than I thought it would be. So,
yeah. Well, answer your question later.
I
forgot. I already forgot about Tom's question.
No, we can skip my question. It's fine. You don't have to answer.
No. We could. Danny, do you have an answer real quick?
I want one
realistic expectation and okay, one.
Stop talking, Tom.
No, I'm reminding the listeners.
I want a plastic Lord of War for Tyranids. Mm. Right? Like an actual plastic Lord of War.
It's going to be old one eye.
And then my reasonable expectation or actual prediction would be, it would be at least 3 campaign books besides all the codexes.
Hmm. Okay. That's a good one.
I'm hoping for a Chaos Codex that doesn't suck. I'm not asking for 3.5. I've come to the realization that we're never going to get 3.5. But I'm hoping for a codex that, I don't want to say doesn't suck, that allows me to win in more than one way. Let's put it that way.
Hmm. That's fair.
You know, for Chaos, this the Chaos Code in general, not Death Guard, Thousand Suns, whatever. That's my, hope. Or, you know what, that's gonna be my, actually I'm gonna be optimistic and that's gonna be my realistic expectation that it's gonna be, the new codex will be much better than the last codex, and I think it's gonna give us a lot more tools than we had in previous editions. For the Pie in the Sky, I'm gonna say a Chaos Primarch.
Ooh.
I almost said that.
Yeah. See.
And I'll say, obviously, say, what's his name? Fulgrim, only because the Hedonites is released from Age of Sigmar.
Not to mention which they had the snake lady, from the Daughters of Cain, who was clearly like a test model for Fulgrim.
Well, there's that, plus the Sigvald character.
The Sigvald character, then there was the transforming character who he started as one thing and then transforms into another thing, which Fulgrim does all the time.
That's what's her name, yeah.
Yeah. So my pie in the sky was that we get Emperor's Children, fuck Tao. Emperor's Children Codex and Primarch and World Eaters Codex and Primarch. That was my hope, which would come, and this is how pie in the sky it is. It would also come with new Noise Marines and new Berserkers, because those two are kind of due for new plastics. I don't think that's going to happen, sadly. Maybe one of those things will happen, and I'll be happy. What I do think will happen, and I'm corrupted now by Danny's idea of campaign books, it's all I can think about, and that seems like a reasonable guess. My expectation is actually, assuming that campaign books will probably be a thing, I would actually put my money on ad hoc unit editions per campaign book. So, you're going to see a couple new Space Marine, despite the fact that they have the largest index ever. You're going to see a couple new Necrons, and then you're going to see some more of the hot factions. I think that's just what it's going to be. You're going to see a smattering of, you get a unit, you get a unit. I'm ignoring that codex. You get a unit, you get a unit. Ignoring that codex too. You get a unit. And I think that's what's going to happen. Maybe, I don't know. That's all I can think of. All
right.
But my wish list is Emperor's Children World Leaders. And I would go ham into both of those so hard, so quickly.
All right. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll call it there. Thank everybody for listening. Once again, thank you to our sponsors, Hammerhead Games, hammerheadgames.net, if you want to check out their website, or check out their Shark Tank store Facebook page. And especially their consignment Facebook page. There's a lot of good stuff on the consignment. And then also, again, our prize support providers, Gameology Pasadena. Just check out their website, GameologyGames.com, and they'll ship to you anywhere. Congratulations to all the winners. And make sure to check out their Facebook page. Excuse me. Gameology Pasadena on Facebook. Tom, Danny, anything? Any last words?
It's my usual. Play games. Be safe. Be kind.
Tom?
Party on, Garth.
Oh, fuck. Good night, everybody.
That's not a bad one. Now you have to say it.
Party on, Wayne.
There you go. I was actually asking Adam to do it.
Yeah, I wasn't. Don't even.
I know. That's why I said it, because I knew he wouldn't.
Well, good night, everybody, and have a pleasant tomorrow.